Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John is engineering and producing our program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. We are in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, along with the podcast and an archive that goes back to January of 2011, a 10-year-plus archive of programs at buckmastershow.com. Our Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Some disturbing environmental news today, published in the magazine Science, about the monarch butterfly, which is now apparently on the verge of extinction. That's really, I think, terrible news. One of the co-authors of this report that appeared in the journal Science is Katie Prudick. Katie is an assistant professor of citizen and data science in the University of Arizona School of Natural Resources and the Environment. And as I say, she's the co-author of the report. Katie, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you because I'm disturbed about this news. How bad is this decline?
Well, so the paper you talked about, which was published recently in Science, as you mentioned, looked at over 400 species of butterflies across the West. And to put that in context for your listeners, the monarch was one of the species that was declining. We found about almost a 2% annual decline across all species. And the monarch, though, was in the middle. So it wasn't the worst declining butterfly, but it certainly wasn't doing fabulous. Coupled with that information, there have been some recent reports on the overwintering numbers of the Western monarch, and they are very low this year. Possibly people are hypothesizing that it has to do with the huge fires that we had across the West this year, coupled with multiple years of drought.
Well, a couple of years ago, Katie, the monarch was doing, it seemed like, a lot better. There were several hundred thousand just a few years ago, but that population now fewer than 2,000 this year. I'm telling you, this sounds like the proverbial, what do they say, the canary in the coal mine? Am I being too dramatic here?
Oh, I think that, you know, prognostication and forecast is hard. Like, ask any weatherman about that, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, Tucson's pretty easy to prognosticate what the weather's going to be like, especially in June, but you know how it is. Yeah, so I think I'm hesitant to say. It's definitely, most of us are very concerned. Coupled with that uncertainty, though, is knowing that this butterfly is a really good reproducer. So each female can produce, you know, 300 caterpillars. That doesn't mean we need to stop any of our efforts. We need to pay attention to the monarch for sure, and then other butterflies across the West in terms of thinking about making better places for them to live, and whether that's in your home garden or in the wild areas around cities.
The monarch migrates to central Mexico, is that correct?
Well, there's two flyways. I think this is one of the confusing things about this insect, is genetically the same, so the same DNA instructions to make a monarch, but there's a flyway in the west, which is the one we're talking about here, where it overwinters in the on the coast of California. I'm thinking of Pacific Grove, where they have monarch festivals and things like that associated with the return of the monarch during winters. And then the big monarch return is the eastern flyway, the one that probably most people are familiar with, where it goes from all the way north to Canada, the eastern side of Canada, down to central Mexico.
How in the world can a butterfly travel that far? I mean, that just, and that, and I will say, when I, when I saw this story, I did think of the one that you see these pictures of in central Mexico, where there, you know, there are thousands of them gathered together. But now that you bring this up, from my time working over in California in the news, I do recall in the Bay Area, in the Monterey Bay Area, that they do have kind of a monarch festival there in Monterey.
Yeah. And, you know, a similar thing. You will find them in the eucalyptus groves in that neck of the woods. The native trees have been replaced during the big railroad boom years with eucalyptus. But the monarchs seem to be just fine with that. Yeah, and so you'll see, you know, thousands, you know, in the past, millions of feet of individuals overwintering in California, too.
We've talked about, you know, how dangerous the decline of the honeybee because they're pollinators. Should we be concerned also, what purpose do the butterflies serve other than they're absolutely beautiful? But
right.
Is there a purpose in nature that about pollination or something else like that?
Yeah, so when scientists would talk about ecosystem services, what are sort of the benefits and that a certain species or group of species provide to all the other animals, including us and plants around it. For butterflies, that would be two things. So pollination, they are pollinators, and I'm sure the bee people we could go toe-to-toe on who's a better pollinator, but bees are probably better pollinators. Although butterflies have they're really important for specific plants. So butterflies help make the next generation of plants. And then they also, I often refer to caterpillars as eggs with legs because they're just, I mean, it's a big deal to become a butterfly. That's a big lift,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's hard to be that pretty. And so a caterpillar is accumulating all these nutrients, and they're just like kind of like a chicken egg, but crawling around eating plants. And so birds, lizards, other arthropods like spiders or wasps are eating those caterpillars at huge numbers. So they're providing, you know, carbon and nitrogen for a lot of other animal species.
One of our Facebook friends says that butterfly monarchs have actually been taken to New York and they still find their way home. I mean, it's pretty amazing, the migration. Have they figured out how that happens? Is there some kind of magnetic thing with the earth or how does it happen?
It's complicated. It's sort of the take-home message. We don't understand it fully, but what we do know is there's special, I want to say, orientation periods when it's growing up as a caterpillar, and then even inside its chrysalis, and then as an adult. And it's using, it's not using true navigation, like there's only a few species that do that, but it's using that as sort of another form of landmark navigation to help find its way.
We need more places here in Tucson that could attract, that would be havens for birds and butterflies. Would you agree to that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, things that speak to me, certainly the folks at Tohono O'Chol are doing a fabulous job, and I work with them a lot. They have a great butterfly citizen science group out there that, if you're interested in learning more, please reach out to them. They do butterfly walks. They do have great plants. I know butterflies are certainly part of the restoration projects downtown along the river. So that's exciting. So I think it's on everyone just to again, it's not just butterflies we should be thinking about, but all of our tiny neighbors out there long term. I mean, like, should we be worried about butterflies? And, and part of me says no, because if we look across mass extinctions, all insects do pretty well. There haven't been really a mass extinction of insects since before they were able to fly.
Wow.
So they're
the real survivors, Katie, I guess, aren't they? You know, let me ask you a quick question. Just generally, the butterfly species, do you have any idea how many that we have here in the Tucson area?
Well, Tucson and just south of us is probably one of the most biodiverse places for butterflies in the nation. So it's a great place to get interested in butterflies, just in terms of like how many you can see. I want to say, depends on the taxonomy, of course, like who's naming species, but at least, you know, 300 is probably a fair assessment.
That sounds pretty darn good. Katie Prudick, thank you very much, Katie, for spending some time with us.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Katie Prudick, an assistant professor of citizen and data science in the University of Arizona School of Natural Resources and the Environment. She's the co-author of a new report in the journal Science about a declining population in Western butterflies. We'll be back with Shelley Fishman talking about the markets today. And Shelley's giving me an up and down thumb. That means we kind of go up, we kind of go down. That's what the markets are going to do. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Mona's Danish Bakery is our wonderful sponsor. And I was thinking about Mona's. Well, I think about them every morning. I think, well, do I want what do I want this weekend? A cinnamon roll? No. I think now I'm going to go back to perhaps a slice of a Danish Kringle or one of those beautiful muffins, a blueberry muffin, or the recently discovered one that I really like, the chocolate chip muffin at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30. During the week and on Saturdays for breakfast. I think it would be a great time to go by tomorrow morning, have breakfast at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com, where you can order your bakery goods online or call ahead and they'll be ready for you. All right, Buckmaster continues on with Shelley Fishman right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. How are you, sir?
I am well, sir. I thought you were going to say in the flesh.
And you are indeed in the flesh.
In the flesh.
I was thinking, here we have all this money. When you think about all the stimulus, what is it? Add it up, $5-6 trillion, something like that.
It's a bunch of money.
It's a bunch of money. So we still need terribly in this country to fix the interstate road system, bridges. So is there any money going to be left, or will there be a will to maybe go deep to pay for it?
Fear not, Bill. There's always money left.
There is?
There's always money that you can
find. I guess,
find.
Yep, you could always print more, right?
You can always print more. However, the likelihood is that at least half of the Biden infrastructure proposals over a 10-year period, because, you know, with this pandemic thing, this stimulus is intended to be spent quickly. But with infrastructure repair, you're talking about a process that, you know, gets measured normally in decades, but certainly the forecasts will reach into a 10-year period. So if Biden and his team proposes, let's say, a $4 trillion infrastructure bill, it's likely that they'll try to pay for half of it through tax increases over that 10-year period.
Tax increases, though, won't cover the whole thing.
No, there's almost no way you can find $4 trillion in tax increases over a 10-year period and continue to do some other things. However, if you can get halfway there, that's a pretty big step. And some of the proposals that are beginning to leak out of the White House economic team now, you know, kind of indicate that they'll try, for instance, and you and I have talked about this in the past, the Trump tax cuts for corporations brought the nominal rate, because a lot of companies just don't pay it, to 21%. What'll happen, that came down from 35%. It's likely that Biden will probably propose resetting it to 28%. It's also likely that the higher tax brackets, and they're saying for people with income over $400,000 a year, will be raised from now they're in the low 30s back up to, say, 38 or 39%. Keep in mind, when you and I were growing up, the tax brackets at the top were in the 90% range. So, you know, you keep that under 50% and you're not going to do anybody a lot of harm. The other thing that's interesting is with infrastructure, Bill, you can very often find ways of having the people who use the infrastructure pay for the infrastructure. You know, the obvious example is, for instance, toll bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So over a period of time, you know, your $2 toll used to be a quarter, now it's $2. Sometimes it's more, mm-hmm. You know, adds up and will actually pay for the repair and upkeep of those very important infrastructure pieces.
And yet that's
pieces.
On some bridges, too, use that structure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some roadways, especially back east.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the West, we don't have toll roads for the most part. And people rely, because the spaces are so large, people rely on those roads for getting around. There's no way you can't use it. So the question is, how do you pay for that? We have been, in the past, paying for it through the use of taxes on gasoline. However, we haven't raised those taxes in, decades.
Mid-90s.
Right.
Yep.
And so what's being talked about now is perhaps a way of taxing people's mileage on their cars. Since we're moving in the direction of electric vehicles, using gas taxes is really a prescription for failure, assuming that electric vehicles do what the projections are between now and 2150. However, if you tax mileage, then that might be a way of repurposing funds for highway reconstruction.
What about, we had a friend who asked just now about that New Deal that's been talked about. AOC's talked about a New Deal, wondering about this. This friend was wondering, would that impact infrastructure projects?
It could. For instance, one of the components of infrastructure would be the electric grid, also putting charging stations mm-hmm. along the highways. Mm-hmm. There are lots of ways that infrastructure change and infrastructure upgrades will in fact affect so-called Green New Deal. There is no such thing as a Green New Deal. It's been proposed. It's it's this the broad range of theories about what needs to be done over the next, let's call it, 80 years to get us to a zero carbon footprint. So I'm not afraid of the Green New Deal. I think it's a nice way of thinking about moving us in a direction that in fact will affect the change in climate and hopefully find ways to limit that change to non-critical amounts. Because what we're seeing right now, in fact, I read just yesterday a story on the Greenland ice sheet.
Yeah.
that it could raise sea levels 20 feet.
Really?
If the whole Greenland ice shield melted,
right. It would raise the ocean
right.
level.
Because that's not water, water that's frozen, mm-hmm. floating on the ocean, when that melts, it doesn't have any effect, okay? But if that ice is landbound, in other words, if these are glaciers and things that are sitting on land, when it melts, mm-hmm. it runs off into the oceans.
Yeah.
So, we've had, a degree and a half of Celsius increase for the past 20 or 30 years. If we can stop that, we might be able to avoid the worst impacts. And so when I think of the Green New Deal, I think of a long-term process, and infrastructure is certainly part of that.
Shelley, let's quickly talk about, we've got the Fed chair. Chairman Powell will speak tomorrow. Any reaction? I know today the markets are kind of been mixed, been down. Is there some anticipation that he's going to talk about inflation and worry folks about
it's almost impossible for him not to talk about inflation.
Short-term inflation,
What Powell has said is, for the next couple of years, don't worry about raising rates.
Right.
And he's going to say, look, there probably can be some spark of inflation when all of this stimulus money gets into circulation, but don't worry about it. Don't take it too seriously. I'm going to hold inflation to an average of 2%. That's what he's saying. Markets are agreeing with him. Yeah, today is a little bit up and down, anticipating tomorrow's output from the Open Market Committee. But markets are looking ahead. We are at or near record highs in all of the indices that count. So what the market is doing in voting with its dollars is saying, we think that the economy is just going to be fine, and tomorrow we'll get a forecast from the Fed on what he thinks, now that we have the past stimulus bill, where he thinks the economy will go for the next year or two. And if we get a forecast from him in the area of 5%, I think the markets will take off.
We're running out of time here, but Biden's tax plan, you want to hit on a couple of quick points on that?
Well, I think what he's going to try to do in this tax plan is back off of some of the changes that were in the Trump tax increase or decrease, depending upon where you were. But also, I think what he's going to try to do is find areas where he can get unanimity or bipartisanship, and perhaps changing the gasoline tax is one place. There may be others. I think he really desperately wants to show that he can work with Republicans, and Republicans aren't necessarily going to stonewall everything. At the end of the day, however, I will give you a forecast, and that is that they will kill the filibuster and do what they need to do.
Hmm. Well, then there's the whole issue with corporate tax increases.
Well, that's going to happen, but it's not just raising the nominal rate. They're going to have to find ways to cut some of the loopholes that corporations use to not pay any taxes at all. One might be a minimum tax on corporations, let's say 15% of adjusted gross revenue. So there are ways that we can make even, you know, corporations that haven't paid taxes in years pay something about their fair share.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure to see you. We'll see you in a week at 12:15, your usual Tuesday time. So we'll see how this market, which is, as you point out, behaving with the market near record highs.
The market is very optimistic. I think it's a little overbought, but it's showing signs of optimism that, you know, even when you get a day or two where it peaks down a tiny bit, on average, the markets are liking what they're hearing.
All righty. I'm liking that. All right, Shelley, have a great week.
You
Buckmaster
too, Bill.
In the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back at the midway point.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
All righty, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Speaking of green things, isn't it nice to get some more moisture? I was not expecting much, but we had a nice, the backyard was looking good, and this really would be a great time to head over to Green Things to look for some spring color, and their associates there will be able to assist you. These people are so incredibly knowledgeable. All you need to say is you would like something that's going to maybe live through the summer. They will steer you in the right direction for your garden. 3384 East River Road. They're in their 51st year. They're open every day. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Don't forget zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village is part of, it's on the 13-acre property with all that great merchandise, much of it imported from Mexico, Talavera pottery, and some beautiful handmade furniture at Green Things. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the council offices of the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. Nikki Lee is with us on the live line. Councilwoman, Madam Vice Mayor, how are you today?
Hi, Bill. I'm really well. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. The Vice Mayor position could become very important here in coming weeks if Mayor Romero accepts what apparently is looking like a high up position in housing and urban development in Washington. Congressman Grijalva confirmed on our show here Friday that that Mayor Romero is seriously looking at that position. As outlined by your colleague, Councilman Paul Cunningham, on my colleague, Zach Yenser's show yesterday, Paul was saying you would become then the mayor, and then you would call the council members together to vote on who would become mayor. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, Bill, that's what I'm understanding as well, that we would do similar to what we went through for the Ward 3 council seat. We would, once the vacancy is there, we would have a special meeting to come together and then appoint who will then fill out the remainder of that term. So he's absolutely correct on that. That's what I was briefed as well.
Well, what if there would be a 3-3 tie? Would you, as the acting mayor, then presumably break the tie?
Well, that's a really interesting situation. From what I understand, a tie would mean that there's a failure of a motion. So we would just have to get to a point where we would get consensus. We would get four votes. Until such time, we would not have a motion and be able to move forward. So I guess that would be the potential situation. But
it's kind of like when the new Pope is being appointed. You will be all sequestered in a room, and until there is a new mayor, I don't know what kind of smoke will come up out of there, but there will be a decision at that point. So it is worth noting that there would not, because people have asked me this before, Bill, will there be a immediate citywide election? And no, there will not. There will be whoever is appointed during this meeting and emerges as the mayor would fulfill Mayor Romero's remaining term. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just want to be clear too. You know, I learned about everything the same way everyone else did, and heard the news on your show as well, Bill. So
thanks.
All of this is, you know, hypothetical. I just want to reaffirm that I think that Mayor Romero would do an amazing job in that capacity. But right now, there's nothing that is in work, right, for us. If that were to happen, everything would be a public meeting. And just like we did with the Ward 3 seat, we have our chartered authority to then appoint whoever would fill out the remainder of her term. So it may be a different type of process. That would all be determined by the council members on how to move forward with the process to fill that vacancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Moving on. The issue with Reed Park, do you think, Nikki Lee, that there can be some kind of a first of all, let me ask you, do you believe there can be a compromise?
I absolutely do. I want to be very clear. I mentioned this at the council meeting, but I know not everyone has the time to watch 8 hours of a council meeting every 2 weeks. But it's important for people to understand. I can't speak for everyone, but I believe that we're all very aligned in that we are supporting the will of the voters for those capital improvement projects and maintenance work. Everything that the voters voted on is not what's in question. What's in question is how we go about implementing the expansion project specifically, right? It's really important to me that that distinction be made, because I think there's some information out there that may suggest that, you know, mayor and council or certain council members don't support the expansion. And that's just not true from my perspective at all. It's a matter of, I don't want the community to feel like they've lost certain things. I want this really to truly be a situation where people feel like, you know, they're gaining from this. And so I do feel like we can get to a situation where the expansion takes place, so we have a win for the zoo. And because that's such an important part of our city and why people travel from other towns outside of the city to the city to spend their money here, as well as the park itself. So I do think that with a mediated process, because we as mayor and council are stakeholders in this, just like so many other stakeholders. So I'm happy that we're doing a mediated process to be able to come to a scenario that I believe will work for us. I'm sure not everyone is going to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, there will be people who won't like it, but I think we can get to a point where we'll get people on board, I hope.
When does that process begin, Nikki Lee? Is the mediation, because the time is running, the clock's running here.
It is. The clock is running, and we gave direction for up to 45 days for that process to start. And from my understanding, that's when the clock started, because to stop to pause construction, that costs every single day. And so we want to keep that moving through as quickly as possible. So those things are happening, and hopefully we will start hearing in the very near future about, you know, community conversations that will happen and kind of how that's going to take shape. But they're moving on it right now.
Going back to city elections, a lot of this depends on the Supreme Court. The Arizona Supreme Court is hearing right now whether or not there will even be city elections this year, or whether the city will be required to go more to an even year election cycle. So there's a lot of questions out there, whether there's even going to be an election for the regularly scheduled ward offices, those that are up this year.
A lot of change this year and last year. That's been the theme, hasn't it, for 2020?
Yes, it has.
We just keep riding the wave of change. So I think, you know, it's important. The voters voted and reaffirmed their desire to have elections on the years that we have them on. So I, you know, personally hope that is upheld, the will of the voters. But we'll see what that ruling comes down to be.
Did your attorney say, the city attorney say, when that's expected? I've heard it could be as late as late spring before we hear.
I have not heard an updated date, Bill. I just keep hearing any time, and so we're just waiting.
Okay. All right, let's take a break right here. Nikki Lee is with us, the Vice Mayor, City of Tucson. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio are live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back with more with the Vice Mayor.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, ready to welcome guests again. Folks who want to get away, it's a 3-hour drive, not a bad drive at all, and a great getaway as the Gila National Wilderness starts to be greening up. I'm so glad we've gotten some rain. Things are going to be looking pretty darn good here for the spring, so might want to think about, I mean, who doesn't want to get away these days? A lot of people are fully vaccinated, getting fully vaccinated, feeling like they would like to get away. Well, consider Silver City. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of things to do and some great places to stay as well over in that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. The Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson is Nikki Lee, and Nikki's with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The numbers are looking better. The case numbers have been really going down, the COVID cases, Nikki Lee. And I'm just wondering, is there a consideration of maybe opening up like the Udall Center and some of our centers that have been closed? Any thoughts about a reentry plan?
Yeah, you know, I'm just as excited as everybody else is. And out here on the edge of town where we've got, you know, county parks and city parks, we've really been leaning into the conversation of let's make sure that our parks policies for how we're opening things up are very much in alignment with how the county is doing that, plus through the health department. So it's really helpful to lean on them for that guidance. So we have been in lockstep with the county when we're looking at parks and recreation. So, you know, we're eager to get things open. I know the city manager, they're going through an evaluation right now to look at our departments across the board and how we're going to reopen and return to the workplace and start to bring life back into things. So I'm excited as well. I don't have a timeline for you, Bill, but I know that all of those things are being evaluated with obviously everyone's health and safety as the top priority.
How are you doing juggling your work? I know you're a busy executive here in town at Raytheon, and then you've got the duties with the city. And in this extraordinary year that we've, 12 months that we're just coming out of, I always like to point to St. Patrick's Day of last year when everything, that's kind of when things really went south. What a year this has been, and how have you juggled this and with your family as well? Talk about multitasking.
I don't think I could have planned for a year like this, as could anyone. But I think what has made it possible for me is I carry three phones, Bill. It looks crazy. Some people probably think I might be up to questionable behavior, but I carry three phones. I compartmentalize my life in very specific containers so that they don't cross over, right? When I'm at work, I'm at work. When I'm working on city council work, I'm working on city council work. When I'm with my family, I'm with my family. So I try to be all in and present wherever my time and attention needs me to be. And of course, it's challenging because, you know, there's all these pressures and things going on. But that's been the way that I've managed, just to try to be very intentional. And my calendar looks crazy and color-coded, but it's just to me about managing my time and my attention.
I think that's the best way to do it. When you're focused on one thing, give that 100% and then move on to your other phone of the three phones. The personal, I'm guessing it's the personal phone for Nikki Lee, it's the work phone, and then it's the city phone.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it.
Let's take a quick call. Roberta is on the live line. Hey, Roberta, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Did you have a question for the vice mayor?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
If a mayor resigns, can the resignation be effective immediately, or does it take a certain length of time?
Okay. Nikki, what do you think? I have a guess, but maybe you know what it would be.
Well, Roberta, I'm actually, I'm not 100% sure. I would assume, for instance, what we just went through with Councilmember Durham, he put his resignation in with, he gave us a month, which was incredibly generous, to kind of work through the vacancy. So he gave us a month, which was very generous. So that I actually don't know. I would assume that with any vacancy that we may ever have with a mayor or council member, they would give a specific date and we would honor that date. That would just be my guess, but I don't know.
I would second that. I would think that would be the guess. You know, a couple of weeks to a month would seem reasonable. I just can't imagine that it would be like, you know, a sudden. It's immediate, but that's just, again, just like you, Nikki, that's my guess. I want to move on to the really big story that continues to be out there, and that is, yes, we have terrible situation with the staffing. It is really a severe staffing shortage with our police department. How worried are you, Nikki Lee, about all of this and the response times to our callers who want service?
Yeah, well, you know, Bill, when I knocked on doors for my first race for the state legislature, the one that I did not win, and when I knocked on doors for the Ward 4 race, that was one of the number one issues that I heard from constituents was, you know, I called and no one showed up. And so I know that this has been a lingering problem for us and a very, very real problem for us. And I'm a big Maslow's hierarchy of needs person. You know, safety is critical for any person and for any community. So there's absolutely no question in my mind that we have to address our staffing. I know that pay is a big piece of that. Chief Magnus has been very clear on, you know, showing us where the gap is, and we have to be competitive for our officers because, you know, we have people going to other departments in the state or even, you know, county or the airport. And so we have to be competitive. And that's one big piece of several other things that we need to address. And, you know, not a lot of people in the country go into the military. There's not a lot of people in the community that go into a police department or fire department, because it takes a very special type of person to step into those types of roles, right? You don't know if you're going to come home the next day.
That's right.
So it's critical people that we're trying to find. It's a nationwide problem that we're seeing, you know, people stepping up to get into these positions. So it's a big issue, and it's on the top of the list. Absolutely.
Greg has called us, and I think he has a comment about TPD. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Bill. You know, I was listening on the scanner the night before last. They'd set up a quad looking for a suspect, and my hat is off to the dispatcher and the cops that were out there, because they did catch the bad guy, and it's so efficient. I do have an issue with Chief Magnus, though. I don't feel like he's up to snuff, and that must be demoralizing for the troops, for the guys, out, men and women out there. What can we do? I had actually written him a letter about a woman who was beaten savagely, the suspect that did the beating. She could identify him. And this was 5 months ago, and I wrote a letter to Chief Magnus, and absolutely nothing has been done. This fellow still walks around proudly, and he's a violent guy. And, I know Magnus may be busy, but, man, respond to a citizen who has an issue with what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Go ahead, Nikki Lee.
Yeah, well, Greg, thanks for calling in, and thanks for your advocacy and for writing in for the first place. And I also agree with you that our 911 folks, you know, they are the frontline people who are dealing with people at their most scary moments. And so my hats has always been off to the 911 folks. They have a very difficult job, and they do a great job when it comes to dispatching police officers. So I really appreciate you acknowledging and recognizing that from both of those departments. They're doing a great job and working through a lot of challenges and really kicking butt. So I'm really happy to hear that. I will follow up and see what I can understand about the issue that you're referring to. And if you want to send us any information, Ward 4, just the number 4, at TucsonAZ.gov is our email address. So, Greg, if there's anything you want to send us, me and my team are happy to follow up on the specifics of the issue you're talking about. Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
So can we get any money out of the general fund that's already budgeted? Can we move some money around to kind of boost up the police department, possibly adjusting some benefits or using unfunded officer pay to allocate to current officers? Can we do some juggling around, Nikki Lee?
Yeah, well, there's, again, with the variables, things that are in motion right now, I believe that labor is working through contracts right now. So in a lot of those conversations, those things happen, right? Benefits, pay, those type of agreements happen in those processes. And there are positions that have been funded that haven't been able to be filled. So I definitely believe there are opportunities. And of course, you know, last year, Mayor and Council approved the budget as was requested. We did not make any cuts to what was requested. We're coming up on budget season again, where we're evaluating, we're looking at a comprehensive citywide retention and recruitment analysis to understand what we need to do department by department to make sure that we have, you know, a healthy organization and we're able to deliver the best services to the residents.
All right. And there will be budget hearings will begin soon. They'll be virtual, correct?
Absolutely. The mayor has organized with the department and the city manager's office a series of 4 virtual budget town halls in addition to the overall budget process that we'll have the hearings and everything like that. So I'll give a plug for those. The next one actually happens on Saturday, March 20th. From 10:30 to noon, and this one specifically, these are categorized by area, and this one is around climate action and adaptation. So you can go to TucsonAZ.gov, and right on the government tab, you can find out how to access the 3 remaining of those virtual budget town halls, and then we will have our normal budgeting process that will continue on over the next couple months.
Okay, Nikki Lee, thank you for spending some time with us. Let you get back to work. Pick up which phone? I don't know. One of your 3 phones. There you go. Have a great afternoon, Nikki. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for your time.
All right. Bill Buckmaster with you saying have a great afternoon. We've got Dave Ramsey next, right after the break.